And that brings us to the discussion of the day, which is the importance of the biofuel industry. Now, I'm going to repeat the benefits of this industry, not because I don't believe you know them, but there may be a few folks here reporting on this who may not fully appreciate it, so we'll do a little education tool here. First of all, it is important, as I've said, to diversify where our fuel and energy comes from, so that we're not overly dependent on any one aspect. And the biofuel industry and the renewable fuel industry has basically created this opportunity for us to diversify. It is a job creator. Nearly 400,000 jobs, directly or indirectly, connected to this industry. People build plants, maintain plants, fix plants, repair plants, truck product, pump product, create the distribution systems and the dispensing systems. All of those are jobs in the economy. 400,000 supported. It provides the consumer choice and the opportunity to go to a gas station and no doubt, no question, pay less than they would otherwise pay. Were it not for the biofuel industry, there is no question that gas prices would be even higher today than they are. Now, you can pick a study. There's several of them. But the lowest I've seen is 25 cents a gallon. The highest I've seen is $1.37 a gallon, difference in terms of cost at the pump. So it's saving the American consumer millions of dollars. And it's reducing our reliance on foreign oil. In just the last 3 years, we've gone from importing 62% of our oil down to 45%. We're helping to create new opportunities in the Midwest of the country as opposed to the Middle East and other parts of the world. So whether it's diversifying our fuel supply from a national security perspective, helping to create jobs, giving consumers choice and savings, developing new income sources for farmers, or reducing our reliance on foreign oil, when you take a look at the total package, this is an industry that is worth supporting, which is why the president is supporting the renewable fuel standard. And it's why I'm supporting the renewable fuel standard. Now, there are some folks who don't see it this way. And there's some folks who are suggesting that we need to undermine the standard, who don't think this industry is as important as I see it and as you see it. And they are using a variety of different strategies to raise issues and questions. Now, I recognize that it's Lisa Jackson's responsibility to deal with requests for waivers or adjustments to the renewable fuel standard, and I don't want to suggest that I'm doing her job or that she needs me to help her do her job. But I think it is important, and Lars, you mentioned this, to emphasize that the market responds, the market reacts, the market pays attention. And we're already seeing that. Livestock producers are paying attention, so they're reducing their herds. The export markets are paying attention, so we have a bit more competition than we've had in the last couple of years. And the ethanol industry is paying attention. You all know that production in many areas of the country, in many facilities, is down. Some cases 10%, some cases 20%. I've heard some 30%, and some plants have shut down for a period of time. You're paying attention to the market. You're allowing the market to respond and react as it should. And I think it's important to emphasize that, that the market is indeed responding and reacting to what we see. Now, we don't really know what the yields will be. We can make projections. We can make estimates. We can make guesses. We don't know and won't know until the crop is, in fact, harvested. But what we do know is that the market is already responding to the reality of this drought. We also know that built into the renewable fuel standard process is flexibility. It's not as if this process was created without any understanding that agriculture is risky, that there's a chance that you may have a drought, or that you may have a storm, or you may have a pest or disease that creates problems with the crop. And so built into the system was the capacity to use credits in lieu of. And these credits have been accumulated over a period of time and are roughly equivalent, I'm told, to 1 billion or 2 gallons of ethanol. And so the industry has the capacity to respond. So the market's responding, the industry has the capacity to respond as well. That needs to be taken into consideration. And then the question is, what would the impact be? How significant would it be in terms of price? And there are some studies that would indicate that the significance in the scheme of things is not as great as maybe some people had anticipated. So the standard for the waiver is pretty high. You got to show significant economic harm in a region. You got to take all the factors into consideration. But I think it is important to point out that the market is responding and the system has flexibility. That's where you all come in. See, you think I've got a job. I'm here to tell you you've got the job. I think it's important for us to understand that this is a concerted, organized, well-financed, and strategically thought-out campaign against this industry. You need to recognize that. And you need to respond. Because the benefits of this industry are too important to sacrifice. This isn't just about your individual economic interest. This is about the 400,000 people whose jobs are dependent on us doing a good job of educating the country about the importance of this industry. This isn't just about what it may mean to your bottom line. It's about whether or not this country can, in fact, move towards economic and energy security because we have diversification and we're not overly dependent on some other part of the world. This is a big deal. And it's important for the industry, for the ethanol industry, for the biofuel industry, for the renewable fuel industry to be engaged. And it's not enough simply to write a letter to a congressman. And it's not enough to have a press conference in Washington, D.C. What is important is that you folks, the people that are leaders in your community, engage your community. Going to a gas station, a convenience store, and pointing out that all your friends and neighbors in your community are indeed paying less for their gas because you and others like you are creating this industry. It isn't just about you writing your member of Congress or even going to a town hall meeting in the recess and encouraging passage of a food, farm, and jobs bill that contains a strong commitment to the energy title. It's more than that. It's engaging your state and local leaders to do the same. There are members of Congress who have publicly displayed their support for the opposition. There needs to be a corresponding set of politicians who stand up and say, well, wait a second, this is important to the country. This is a job creator. This is giving consumers choice. There's flexibility in the system. The market's responding. You've got governors and state legislative leaders that need to be engaged in this, and you need to engage them and encourage their involvement. You need to make sure that the country understands the facts. You know, one of the things that's happening in this drought is I get these calls from my friends in the media, and they say, food prices are going up. Report, world food prices are going up. So wait a second. Got to distinguish between food and commodity prices. So what do you mean? So, well, what's being reported is that corn prices are up, or wheat prices are up, or rice prices are up. That doesn't necessarily always translate in this country to food prices going up equally. There's not a, if corn goes up a dollar, it doesn't mean that everything in the grocery store is going up a buck. Because it's an opportunity to point out to folks that farmers only get 14 cents of every food dollar that goes through a grocery store and a restaurant. 14 cents. So you can see commodity prices dramatically increase. And the impact on food prices is not as significant. We estimate food inflation next year to be somewhere between 3 and 4%. Historically, it's 3%. Not much difference. And if you try to quantify what this drought may impact and how it may impact food prices, we estimate maybe a half a percent, at most a percent. And then say, well, why am I seeing food prices increasing now? Well, it's not because of the drought. You got to ask the question, who's getting the other 86 cents? Ever thought about that? Who's getting the other 86 cents? Well, it's people who truck, ship, process, package, shelve, refrigerate, store. What do all those people have in common? They use energy. Oil prices go up. What happens to all the folks getting that other 86 cents? Ever thought about that? Ever talk to your friends and neighbors about that? Ever talk to your state legislators and governors about that? Ever convey that to your members of Congress? Folks, this is an education responsibility we have. We also have to have a responsibility to point out that when ethanol is produced, it isn't just ethanol that's produced. A third of what goes in that comes out as livestock feed. In addition to other co-products that creates new economic opportunity and expands the bio-based economy. You've got to educate. You've got to advocate. You've got to be engaged. You just can't simply be upset or angry or frustrated. You've got to get in the game because the other side is clearly in the game. And I'm confident if we get in the game and we communicate effectively, people will see, yeah, well, this is good for the country. We have diversification. It's good for job growth. It's good for income production in rural areas. You need to ask folks, well, why all of a sudden the last couple of years have we seen record farm income? Have we seen unemployment going down in rural areas at a faster rate? Why are we seeing rural manufacturing come back for the first time in two decades? Why is that? It's because we got a framework for rebuilding the rural economy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's always a risk after you give a speech. Open up to questions and answers, and you lose the entire audience. I think we got roving mics, and I'm... Yes, sir.
Mr. Secretary, Jerry Perkins from Biofuels Journal.
Yeah, Jerry.
Does today's crop report and the continued deterioration of the corn and soybean crops, do you think that changes the equation on a waiver for the RFS?
Well, I think everybody understood, and I think the market, basically this projection is pretty close to what the market anticipated and expected. So I don't think there are any surprises here. I think it's going to be important to remind people that the market is already adjusting to this new reality. It's not a situation where the demand has stayed where it was 2, 3, 4 months ago, and the supply is dramatically reduced. People say, well, it's got a drought, we're going to have less corn, we're going to reduce demand. So the market is basically working. Yeah, it's kind of funny. There are a lot of people out there that you ask about the bipartisanship of this. A lot of people out there that will say, you know, I'm a market guy. And then they get to a situation like this, and they go, hey, wait, the government needs to, you know, the government needs to get rid of this thing, and, you know, the market's working. Let it work. And if there needs to be some adjustment, the system anticipated that. That's why you got these RINs, right? Why would you have them if it weren't for a situation like this? Well, what's the purpose of having them? Right? If you're having a hard time, you use the RINs. And they've accumulated these RINs over an extended period of time. And they can even borrow from next year if they need to. So I think it's going to be important for the industry, for you all to get engaged and basically push back a little bit on the message here. You know, we've got folks basically saying we got to scrap this system, and this system has worked. It's helped to create an industry, and the industry's maturing and it's getting stronger, and it's going to get through this difficult time. You know, because we are a resilient bunch. We do not want to turn our back on this industry now. We're right at the cusp of exciting new adventures and exciting new opportunities for the economy of the country. I mean, just think of a world where you don't have to use petroleum to make plastic. I was in Wisconsin. It's a little bit far afield from your question, Jerry, but I was in Wisconsin, and this company's basically taking corn cobs, and they figured out how to take the molecules from a corn cob and reformulate them into the molecules of petroleum, and then from that they can produce plastic bottles. And Coca-Cola says, well, shoot, we need about 10 billion of these a year. Would you be interested in helping us produce some of them? I said, yeah. So in 2 years, they fully expect the Coke bottles and the Santi water bottles to be 100% plant-based, 100% recyclable, and 100% renewable. 100% plant-based. From a corn cob, all right? I mean, it's an exciting new future. So, Jerry, I think the message here is, is the market working? Well, I would say when ethanol production is going to use 500 million bushels less than they anticipated 2 months ago, that's obviously the market responding. If livestock is going to use less, if exports are going to be less, that seems to me like the market is responding. And we never hear the flexibility in the market argument from folks who want to get rid of this.